we together we navigate this new normal. I told you it's good to see you. It's good to see y'all. Let's look in God's word, because God has blessed us in this season, in this time. I really want you to get this as we open up our time together in the Word of God, particularly jumping off from that fourth chapter and the sixth verse. That's our jump off part. But I want you to consider something. God, the creator of everything and everyone, knows everything. We call that omniscience. He is aware of everything. Nothing gets God by surprise. And God, who's creator of everything and everyone, and nothing gets him by surprise, created you. In your uniqueness, he created you. He crafted you. And get this, he assigned you to live in this season, in this moment, in this year, in this day. You're not understanding just yet here. God, who knows all, creates all, has created you in this decade, in this season. Who created you? And God knows where he placed you. He created you to be here right now. Amen. Hold on. You mean God knew that we'd have a COVID season, he knew that we'd have quarantine, and he knew that this would be the day that the body of Christ comes back together to celebrate him. God knows everything. Amen. As we are discovering things, God already knows what we are on our way to discover. I want us to hold on to that for a moment. Because in all that God has done and all that God is doing and where God has placed you, what now? Oh, maybe you missed me. God blessed you to wake up this morning. God blessed you to be able to gather here and see smiling faces. God blessed you to see all of our volunteers who welcomed you in. God blessed you to be in a sanctuary that is sterilized and clean and safe. God blessed you to be where you are at home. Now what? I didn't think it was that difficult of a question. But that really is the question. Because the truth is, God has us here for a reason. God has it for a reason. Just like the people in the text that we're going to look at, the body of Christ, God's people are here on purpose. And we're here for his purpose. Because Jason, God does have a purpose for us. Look there in Nehemiah, the fourth chapter, particularly that sixth verse. Nehemiah, the fourth chapter, the sixth verse, Nehemiah is speaking, and he's speaking as he, when he says we, he's talking about God's people. He says, so we built the wall, and all the wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. See that there? The people, God's people, had a mind to work. You know what? If we were in our regular setting, I'd just tell you to turn to somebody and just ask them, what's on your mind? But since some of y'all won't be able to hear each other, we're not going to say that. But that is a question that needs to be answered. In all that God is doing, in light of the season God has placed us in, what's on your mind? What are you working on? I submit to you that when God's people, I'm not talking about the world, I'm talking about God's people. When God's people come together, God's people with a mind to work can repair what's broken. The book of Nehemiah is all about the walls of Jerusalem that had been torn down, that had been broken. Let me give you the context so you can appreciate the content. Here, he said, we build the wall. It's a process that really began in the first chapter of Nehemiah when he hears that there's a community, the Jewish community, were distressed. They were, it said, in shame. They had endured affliction, and the community was at risk. They were at risk because the gates and the walls had been torn down. They had been torn down and they had been burned with fire. Nehemiah in the palace serving the king hears the report of a community of people who are hurting, who are vulnerable, because when walls of a city are torn down, that means that city, that community is without protection. That means invaders can come in and those enemies can just have their way with this Jerusalem community. And so Nehemiah, under the unction of God, doesn't just hear it and is apathetic to it. Sonia, he doesn't just get the report and say, oh, that's a shame. It's terrible the way those Babylonians are treating them. That's just not right. No, that's not what God's man does in the text. What Nehemiah does is he hears it, he empathizes with them, he prays about it, and then he prepares to do something about it. Is this mic on? He hears it, and he prepares to do something in response to hearing that there's a community in Jerusalem that was under constant attack, were vulnerable, disenfranchised, and were hurting. And the man of God hooks up with the people of God, and the people of God work together to repair what's broken. I hope you catch this. Because in all of our worship and all that we do and all that we call to, don't miss this, that God is also calling us to move from the sanctuary, to get out in society, identify what is broken, and do something about it. Let me calm down. Welcome home. Notice who's helping to rebuild. Nehemiah, he breaks out who the we is. When he said, we built the wall, he really breaks it down in the third chapter. I hope you didn't close your Bibles, because in the third chapter, there's a word that unifies everybody he lists in the third chapter. In the third chapter, he talks about who was there to rebuild the wall. He begins in verse 1 by listing the cities and the clans. Get this, cities and clans who were not in Jerusalem came to the Jerusalem community to help those who were hurting in that community. I'm biblical. It's right there in text. Because it says Eliashib was the high priest. So now you have the religious rulers. They built the sheep gate. Scroll down, then he says in verse 2, and next to him were the men of Jericho, and the men of Jericho, here's the word, they built. Let me give you some context. We're in Jerusalem, but he says the men of Jericho were in Jerusalem to do something about what was broken. Jericho is an oasis. It's right by the Jordan. There's a fertile ground in Jericho. Jericho wasn't under threat. That community was safe. That community was doing well. But they heard the outcry of the Jerusalem community, and the men of Jericho went to Jerusalem to help repair what was broken. Hold on. Keep. Because that unifying word you'll see here in the text is the word repair. Look at verse 5. As the men are standing next to each other, the Tokiites repair. There it is. They repaired. They repaired even though they didn't get support from the people closest to them who were affluent in their community, and yet they still repaired. Not only them. But let's scroll down to verse 12. At Shalem. Shalem, the son of Haloish, ruler of half the district of Jerusalem, he repaired with his daughters. Oh, you see, because God is an equal opportunity employer. God uses everyone. And when God calls us to respond to the brokenness that's all around us, it becomes a family affair. I hope you get this. And so the people of God had a mind to work, because together, when God's people have a mind to work, God can use us in a mighty way. With God, we can repair what's messed up. How do we do it? Well, we got to navigate with a responsibility to repair what's been broken. That when we look out in our community and see that things aren't right, it means God's people have a responsibility to do something about it. When you look out at the community, and I love JV because we did it as a family. When we looked out in the community and we anticipated that was going to be food insecurity, we anticipated that people will be hungry because of the restrictions and COVID-19 and the loss of jobs, the church, the body of Christ came together, and you, through your donations and your volunteering, provided food for hundreds of the community, because when we see there's a need, we have a holy obligation to meet that need. Are you with me in this place? And so as we navigate, as God's work is what's on our minds, let me encourage you to always navigate with a sense of responsibility to do something about what God allows you to see. Because there are a lot of things that are broken. A lot of things that are seemingly falling apart. You see it, don't you? Marriages are breaking. You see it, don't you? Communities are coming apart. You see it. The covers are being pulled and the pain is seen. And God has you to witness it. Because there's some things that God wants to do, and he'll only do it through his people. And so they're responding, right? They are building the wall. Now we're at the fourth chapter. They're building the wall. But there's always, my mind said haters high on hatery, but I was trying to dial that back and say there's always opposition that comes with opportunity. There you go. That's a little better. Let me give it to you in twittable form. Twittable, that's a word, isn't it? Okay, there it is. Anytime there's an opposition to do something good, there will always be opportunity to do something good. There will always be opposition that's going to come with you. I want you to understand this. Because as we stand as a body of Christ, as God's people, to do what God has called us to do, to help meet the needs, to speak to injustices, to do everything God has commanded in his word for the body of Christ to do, there will be people who won't like you doing what God tells you to do. You remember that time when Jesus was ministering in the community, and a young man came to him, and he said, what must I do to inherit the kingdom? What is the greatest of all commandments? And Jesus says to him, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and to love your neighbor as you love yourself. And so that's what the people of God in text are doing as they see that the bricks, the stones are all in disarray. There you go. They're broken. They're destroyed. They decided, each person decided to do their part to begin to put the bricks back together. There's opposition, but notice they're using bricks that were broken. They're using bricks that were torn. They're using bricks that were burned. And yet they see the value in it and began to build with it. And as they're building, there's opposition. Now, we're in that fourth chapter, because right there in the fourth chapter, you have verse 1, the opposition coming by name of Sanballat and Tobiah. Sanballat sees it, and the Bible says he's angry. In fact, not just angry, he's enraged. Get this, let me show you how Satan works. He's enraged about God's people trying to restore and help a broken community. But he's enraged. He's upset that people who love God also love people. Did you catch that? Because you can't love God and not love who God loves. And if you've been in Vacation Bible School at any time, you know God loves the world. He loves all of humanity. But Sambalat has an issue because God's people are trying to restore a sense of security to a community that's in need. And Tobias, to back it up, so Sambalat is angry, he's enraged, and he says, what are they trying to do? They're going to do this in one day. But Tobiah comes and says, oh, what they're doing, it's not going to last. That's verse 2. It's not going to last. A fox can run up that wall and just destroy it. So the Sambalats of the world want to see people suffer. The Tobiahs of the world are indifferent to the progress. But God's people in the world can't be indifferent. God's people in the world can't just see suffering and ignore it. Why? Because when our Father saw our suffering in sin, he didn't ignore it. No, what did he do? He came in the midst of humanity, walked as man, took our suffering upon him, died on the cross for each and every one of us. And why did he do it? Because God committed his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And so Sambalat and Tobiah are coming. I love the text. They're coming and they're complaining. But this is what you do, because you're going to have opposition. The goal is not to ignore it. Not to say, oh, well, they'll blow off steam. No. You remain aware that opposition is part of the opportunity. And then get this, you prepare for it. Did you hear me? You prepare for it. I love the text, because here they are now. They're building the wall, but they know that there's those out there who will try to stop them. Get what they do. So they get a sword in one hand, but it didn't stop the work in the other hand. They're building the wall, but they're also ready to protect against anyone who tries to stop the progress. Did you catch that? They're still working, and they're still building, and as they're building, they're also standing. Because the Bible says that when he hears about Sambalat and Tobias, what Nehemiah does, get this, first thing he does is he prays. As he prays, he prepares. He examines the wall, he sees where the weak spots are in the wall, and he positions somebody of strength to fill in the gap of the weak spots so they can help defend against those who might try to stop the progress. I hope you're still in here. Because when you see a weak spot in a marriage or a home, God wants to use you, the body of Christ, to stand in the gap and stand with those who are going through and tell them, listen, by God's help, we can build this back up. With God's help, we can build the community back. With God's help, we can build broken relationships. With God's help, we can build this community so no one is hungry and no one is sick and no one is without. Why? Because when God's people come together to do God's work, God will do some mighty things. Got to remain aware of the opposition, because opposition is going to come. I really want to hold this thing for the whole message. I'll be honest with you. This is just, you know, just I'm just feeling it right now. All right. But I got to hurry on. So they're standing. Opposition is going. But then something happens, because the text shifts in the narrative. And by the time you get to the fifth chapter, Nehemiah's experience gets personal. Because not only was there opposition on the outside, there was some tension on the inside. I got to drill down for a moment. There's some tension amongst God's people on the inside. Because even amongst God's people, they were not always treating each other equitably. I love how relevant God's word is. I do. That God would have us in this season, this time, from this text and in this moment right now to challenge us to look at our own relationships. Because not only should some walls be repaired, but there are some relationships that we're connected to that God is calling us to work on repairing. Now, I'm talking about you now. Relationships with family, friends, and neighbors, where some things have been unresolved. God is calling us, and all we know about him, to do the hard work of repairing it. See, what was happening in the text was that some Jews were taking advantage of the other Jews. And if you look in that fifth chapter, it says, now there arose a great outcry, verse 1, a great outcry from the people. And Nehemiah, this godly leader, wouldn't ignore the outcry that he hears from the people. But rather, James, he responds to it. What are you doing with the outcry you hear from the people? As God's children, what are you doing? He responded to it. And he told his fellow brothers, what you're doing, what you're feeling, how you're treating them is not right. So now, before you can work on rebuilding anybody else's relationship, look at yourself and repair your mind. Rebuild your heart and how you feel toward others. And so that's what they did. So God wants us to make a difference. We got to keep his work on our minds. We have to navigate with a sense of responsibility to repair what's broken. We have to be able to remain aware of the opportunities, and with that comes opposition. Got to do the hard work repairing broken relationships. And we're almost done. Because that's something you really need to know. It's taught to us in the sixth chapter. And that is, we ought not stop repairing until what has been broken has been fully restored. Hope you get this. That we don't, Brian, we're not called to go halfway because Jesus didn't go halfway for us. We're not called to start and stop. In fact, if you're with me in the text, that sixth chapter, 16th verse, Nehemiah writes, so the wall was finished on the 25th day of the month of Elul in the 52 days. Wait a minute, they had God's help. And yet, it wasn't restored in one day. They prayed about it, but it wasn't restored in 5 days or 7 days. There's a lesson for us here, is that we have to continue to do the work until God brings the change. So you keep building, you keep building, you keep building, and it becomes a testament to God. Look what it says. And when all of our enemies heard it, all the nations around us were afraid and fell greatly in their own esteem, for they perceived that this work had been accomplished with the help of our God. When we stand as God's children, we stand against injustice. We stand up for the hurting. We help and do the ministry that God has called us to do inside and outside. The community is blessed. And when they look out and say, how is it that Champion Forest, Jersey Village were able to do it? They'll be able to say, it's because God's hand was with them. Amen. So, what's on your mind? What are you going to do with all that God has done for you? What are you going to allow God to do through you? Because the greatest of all brokenness is a life that does not have a relationship with God. And I pray that this season that God has assigned us to has so grabbed our attention that we know now that we can't live life without him. In fact, we don't want to. Because God can repair your life in ways you never imagined. And when you say yes to him, He will come in. He will use you and help bless others through you when you say yes to him. I pray today, if you haven't done that, will be the day that you choose to say yes. Father, thank you so much for your word. The truth of your word, the relevance of your word, that you are able to use us. And as you use us, use us to help repair what sin had tried to torn down. Help us to repair unity, true sense of community. Help us so that others who see us might see you, because they see us. They see how we respond. And we may respond with lenses of love, but hearts that have a hope to heal and to help. And ultimately, you be glorified. It's our prayer in Jesus' name.